Welcome back. Tonight, we're with No Deceit, recorded live from the Performance Hall of Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
Been enjoying your vocals and your bass playing.
Thank you.
Tell us about you and where do you come from and how did you end up hooking up with this motley crew?
Eric Scott.
Well, I probably started playing guitar when I was 14. I was influenced by my dad because he played guitar. I took a lot of music courses throughout school. I played the clarinet for a little while I was in middle school, and then I switched to chorus while I was in high school. Then I pursued classical guitar a little bit throughout college, and then I ended up getting with them because they needed a bass player to fill in on a show because their bass player was unable to do so. So I thought to myself, well, not typically, you know, the sort of music I see myself a part of, but I'll play this show, why not? I mean, it's only one show, and then it turned into a couple shows, and then turned out that I liked playing this, you know. It's fun to play with some people who kind of know what they're doing. I've been in some other bands where, you know, professionalism is a little lower and maybe everyone's skill is a little lower, and it could be hard to put together a lot of things, but it comes a little more naturally.
Doctor, doctor, please come quick. I'm the worst kind of sick. Help me remember my name. I need a remedy. I need a remedy. They say you've gone insane. And in a sign. Not ready for my grave. It seems I'm headed that way. I need a remedy. I need a remedy. They say you've gone insane.
I started playing drums whenever I was around between 10 and 12. I can't really remember exactly the age. I've always been in love with drums.
Jaron Mudd.
I beat on everything. I finally got a hold of a drumstick, and one of my cousins gave me an old, it was actually a marching snare drum. It didn't have the bottom actual snares that buzz on it, just the top head. So I kind of used it as a tom, like the floor tom here, which people can't see that. But, and so I beat and banged on that forever. And then finally around between 10 and 12, my parents finally got me a drum set and a instructional DVD, or it was a VHS, I'm sorry. Back then, yeah, DVD wasn't available then. And a little booklet, threw the booklet out, watched the video, and it taught you like the basic rock beat. So they were kind of regretting the whole thing very quickly.
Understandably,
and,
yeah.
And I looked under my door, and I could see there was a gap under the door, and I could see feet there. And this is when I finally put it together, my first beat, and they were actually watching. After that, I kind of taught myself, but that was the first moment they were like, okay, maybe he really is serious about this. It's not just a phase. Luckily, they let me beat and bang until about, I would get off the school bus, beat and bang until about 6 o'clock, eat supper, and then I'd beat on my pillows. Luckily, you know, I had parents that supported me you know, as much as they could, because drums are so loud. Like, you can't be quiet doing it. Then I grew up in church, playing in church, was in and out of bands, kind of as a hired gun thing. Went to school with their original drummer, and we had been in contact, and he was planning on leaving the band. He asked me to fill in for a couple shows. And then little did I know that they were both sides of the band, him and the rest of the members, were actually looking for a permanent member. So I was going to fill in for a couple shows. We had a show planned, and we practiced one time, and they were like, okay. And they called me out of the blue and was like, hey, can you go to Georgia? And I was like,
oh,
sure, let's go. So I didn't even get to play that show. It was like one practice. We went to Georgia for, what, 3 days? Then I become a full-time member after that, so.
Your leather jacket's hanging on the door. It's right where you left it over 7 months ago. And I haven't had the nerve to throw it out. Cause it still smells like you, even though you're not around. And that bed that we slept in every night hasn't felt the weight of anyone since you got on that flight. And I guess I'm trying to say I told you so, but it's not like you listen to a single line I wrote. This is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about. When I begged you not to leave, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and you pushed away every doubt. This is what I was talking about. She looked at you as if you were a king. For just one kiss, she'd do anything. She said, baby, don't you worry your pretty little head. It'll all be alright. But she got you instead. This is what I was talking about. What I was talking about. When I begged you not to leave, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and you pushed away. put my heart on my sleeve, and you pushed away every doubt. This is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about.
Usually when musicians are on the program, I don't ask like what their influences are because frankly it's often obvious. It isn't obvious here. There's so much going on here. I hear a lot of different players and a lot of different styles, but this kind of gets to that question of what is the revolution we need to brace ourselves for that you guys are thinking about? You know, when you use that language and talk about sort of a revolution in country and southern rock, from your vantage point as a guitar player, what are you after?
Michael Bradshaw.
I want somebody, when they hear our music, for one, I want it to be different enough that they, you know, they can't really compare it to something. Then, like, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Led Zeppelin, or it kind of reminds me of Creedence Clearwater Revival, but it's not them, it's different.
So I said the right thing then?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I come from, like, learning guitar, like, I had the VHS tapes as well.
Oh, you
I'm
did?
Old, but my grandpa actually was the one who influenced me to play. I started on mandolin, bluegrass, so that's in my playing. Then once I heard, you know, like guitar and Led Zeppelin, I was like, nope, that's what I want to do. That's what kind of got me started. So I have a lot of influence from the 70s, you could say. I'm ashamed of this. I didn't find Led Zeppelin until I was in college.
Well, you don't have to be ashamed of that.
Yeah. But once I found them, that was like my playlist for 5 years.
Yeah, I hear you're playing, and I do hear a lot of 70s. I do not hear what I would call sort of the southern rock players, the guys like from Leonard Skinner and the Outlaws and, you know, those kind of bands.
When it comes to learning guitar, I kind of have like ADD, you know. One week I want to learn this country stuff. Next week I'm in metal or I'm in bluegrass or I'm in classical. So I kind of get a hodgepodge, and the stuff I like I keep and kind of just blend it into whatever we're doing.
Windows roll down, 3 a.m. just cruising this town. You're right beside me, burning ashes in the night. Marshall Tucker on the radio, blowing smoke out the window. And I love the way you look in this light. Street lights are flashing yellow. Fall in your arms in the middle of a cold night. Feel the fire in your heart start to ignite.
you take us back to the K Country Showdown? Because that's where it all started, right?
Yeah.
And you were there.
Yeah.
Right. And so tell us about the K Country Showdown.
So every 4th of July, Camelsville has like this huge, they have like a parade and it's like a celebration essentially. And
is that
and,
Ham Day too?
So Ham Days is in Lebanon. Yeah, Ham Days is in Lebanon. And that's what I grew up going to quite a bit. But when I got older, I had a lot of friends from Camelsville and met this guy. And he played guitar. I met him like in church and stuff. He played guitar for a church group and we just hung out and we played a lot and we jammed. And he said, you know, Taylor County has this K Country Showdown. It's just a talent show, but it's like the thing to do in Camelsville that day. Like everyone from Taylor County goes to the K Country Showdown. So there's hundreds and hundreds of people there.
Do players come from all around?
People kind of come from all around. It's a, I don't know if it is anymore, but it used to be like a part of a national country showdown thing when we did it. You started at a county level, you went to a state level, you went to a national level. When we won, we actually went to the state level, and I don't know if we went to the national level or not.
The story on the street goes that you guys didn't really practice for it, or that you practiced a very short amount of time
We practiced a really short amount of time. So I was just out of high school. I hadn't started college yet. It was the summer before I started college. And I only knew one guy in the band, the guy that we started it. Me and him actually were just like, we should be in the K Country Showdown. And he was like, let's put together a band randomly. And I was like, all right, cool. I don't know anybody who plays anything other than you. And so he was like, well, I know a couple guys. So he gets a bass player and a drummer. We just kind of threw it together and we practiced. I mean, we practiced like 2-3 days maybe, but it was a total of 6 hours. It couldn't have been any more than that.
That's crazy.
We actually had a couple songs from that first record that I did. It was a couple originals. And
oh, all right. You played your own stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good. Do you think that factored in your winning?
I think so. I think it was like part of the judging or something like that. But yeah, and we played it, and we were like, I don't know if we're going to win it or not, but that was a lot of fun. And the next day, they were like, no deceit. And I was like, that worked.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah, I'm feeling some kind of way. Something can't understand. You got me wanted, oh, and waited, waiting for a place to make a stand. Take it easy, take it easy, take it easy on this heart of mine. Take it easy, I'll take it easy. Take it easy on this heart of mine. It's hot. Got me upside down. Got me down upside. We'll be right back.
We would like to thank Allison, Michael, Eric, and Jaron, No Deceit, for being with us this evening. We also thank our volunteers for their help with our production each week. We give a very special thanks to Becky Alfrey for her work with our social media and the photography of Nick Lazaroff. Thank you all for listening to our webcast, watching us on YouTube Live, and those listening to us on the Red Barn network of stations. Especially we thank WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official Red Barn Radio partner, serving Central and Eastern Kentucky. WEKU is Kentucky's NPR station. For more information, check out weku.fm. Remember, we have a new schedule on WEKU. 2 hours of Red Barn begin your Saturday evening, beginning at 6 p.m. And again, we are on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. It's your chance to hear more great live Kentucky music from Red Barn Radio. We also thank the members of our studio audience for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio, which strives to present, promote, and preserve the rich musical tradition and artists of this Kentucky region and share this treasure with the world. Red Barn Radio comes to you live from the Performance Hall here at Arts Place in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Tickets for Red Barn Radio are now available on the web at eventbrite.com Lexington. And now, once again, give it up for No Deceit. I think they're going to do one more tune for us.
I can hear the fans spinning around, keeping time with the neon lights. Our name's out on the billboard, flashing live band tonight. Most Saturday nights, this is our home. The stage is one place where we belong. So hear the crack and the pop when you fire up that amp. 'Cause it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we're the bar band. Pulled in yet. The first songs are played to ourselves. Except the drinking few and the pool sharks, and then everybody else. Play the slow songs and ease on in on that first set. Start rolling in and we fire it up and play till we got nothing left. And it's on the first tune, kick off my shoes and buy the band one more round. That's for me and all my buddies, we're just trying to get down. So hear the crack and the pop when you fire up that amp. 'Cause it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we're the bar band. We'll play till one, break it on down. Hop in the truck and roll out, and we'll do it all again next weekend in some other town. Yeah, we will. Oh, hey, first tune, kick off my shoes and buy the band one more round. As for me and all my buddies, we're just trying to get down. Hear the crack and the pop when you fire up that hell. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we're the bar band. We're the bar band.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Allison, Michael, Eric, and Jaron for being with us tonight. We thank WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner serving central and eastern Kentucky. WEKU is Kentucky's NPR station. Live streaming and more information at weku.fm. We'd like to thank Chef Craig Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen for supplying food each week for our guests, artists, and volunteers. Located on Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky, Broussard's Delta Kitchen features the authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta, and live music every weekend. You'll find more information on Broussard's on Facebook. Listen locally. Working in concert to encourage everyone to embrace any opportunity to listen locally and engage with each other in a variety of shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. You can learn more about Listen Locally on Facebook, Instagram, and at listenlocally.net. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint provides printed programs each week for our audience members. For all your printing needs, AccuPrint is on the web at accuprint.us. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. Red Barn Radio's line producer and booking manager is Warren Cobb. The music for this episode was mixed by Adam Schettinger. We also thank our volunteers. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find performance dates and times at redbarnradio.com. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of the Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. For more information on the band, they're on the web at wookoutamerica.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here again on this station next week at this same time as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.